Welcome to the Rice Memorial Missionary Baptist Church podcast. This is a production of Rice Memorial Missionary Baptist Church, where Apostle Walter F. Camp is the senior pastor. This ministry is dedicated to the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry, to the end that we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and faithfully walk in the maturity demonstrated by Christ as commanded in Scripture. Make sure you like, subscribe, and hit your notification button to get new messages on a regular basis. Enjoy this message and please study along with us.
We are so thankful for all you do for us, all you show us, how you are teaching us, how you're demonstrating your love for us. You're demonstrating your faithfulness to us. We are so thankful. The realization that we need you to survive is major. The realization of the fact that without you, we can do nothing. Without you, we would surely fail. We would surely fail. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. I thank you for helping us. Amen. All right. I want to try to lay something out scripturally. I thought about the things I hesitate to ask for them to say because I know you always have specific things in mind for them. And the Lord had really placed on my heart a couple years back, really trust, have confidence in your ministry. You're going to get them where they need to go. You're going to get your household where it needs to go. Just have confidence in your ministry. Thank you so much, brother. So I don't take it lightly when I do want to, but there's some foundational things we've already been talking about today that they will need to be aware of and need to have in the forefront of their minds. You know, we're just a few years away from them possibly being off at somebody's college. Just a few years away. Possibly even just a few years away from y'all being grandparents. Because, you know, we have an understanding. And when I say that here, you know, I'm saying it the correct way, like Walter said, because they will have met spouses. They know to make good judgments. They know how to make a good decision based on the leadership of God. They will know what to look for. They will know how to recognize as a young man that this is a young lady who wants to follow God. And we want to build our lives together. And we're mature enough not to go and say, no, y'all too young. We've learned that young ain't got nothing to do with it. Because we're surrounded by people who made good decisions at young ages. We know folks who are old who made dumb decisions. So it's not about age. It's about knowing how to make a good decision. And so, anyway, all of that is something that we don't take lightly, and we know that we'll make the good decisions led by God when it comes. As much as you want to stay home, you're gonna have to get out of there eventually, girl. Talking about, I remember she liked that Toys R Us commercial. I don't want to grow up. It's because she realized the reality of what happens when the bills start coming in your name and the responsibilities on you and all that, you know. I was like, I just can't take it back. Listen, that mortgage note come every month. It does. So anyway, what I want to start dealing with today is something we've already been talking about. And it's kind of different the way I want to do it. It's actually something the Lord placed on my heart that I'll probably be dealing with off and on throughout this whole next year. Because it's a lot of information. As I've been working on establishing more and more the thought of Well, God has me had in my mind concerning the book I talked about 27 years ago getting written and establishing more and more the different chapters that will go there. This ended up emerging a few months ago as one of the major, if not the major, meat of the book. And God started showing me some things then. I've mentioned it a time or two. And the more I look at it, the more I see I got to get, even this morning, the more I see I got to pull into this whole subject. And it came up this week when we were on KFN. And that's a unique situation because you have to, within a matter of a couple of minutes, to stay respectful for the wishes of staying timely and everything like that, and folks not thinking that we're trying to take over. We have to get a point across and hopefully nail in about 2 minutes and get back out of the way. And hopefully you've made enough of that point to where folks can see what God wants them to see. Okay. And there's situations like that. And even with this, as much as there is, the Lord's been showing me about this, even today, I'm going to lay some groundwork, kind of like introductional groundwork, and then hit one point out of many. And the Lord's already let me know, kind of be disciplined to the outline, because there's certain points he wants me to get to today. But I'm going to lay somewhat of a foundation for where it comes from. It's dealing with something a few months back. Like I said, I've mentioned the fact that I was looking at this whole thing about what we talked about a little bit this morning already, and things God, it comes at in one version of things that God allows in our lives. And we'll get more into how to properly try to assess what that is saying, what most folks say are saying when they say it, what they should be saying instead. It starts out also, it gets into God's leadership. His leadership of us is where God led me to start out with. One of the key scriptures he gave me to start with is Ephesians 1, verse 18. And I'm going to hit several of them and not spend a lot of time on them, because I'm trying to lay a pathway to the frame of thinking that I want to really spend some time on. But in Ephesians, he makes a statement, a whole full prayer there, but he keys in on verse 18, which says, his goal is that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. We talked already this morning about knowing God. Know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. There are certain things in Christ. There are certain things in our relationship with Christ, in the walk we have with Christ, that we need to know we have. We need to know what's provided, what we put up with that we shouldn't put up with. Because in Christ, I shouldn't have to put up with certain things. See? That's a whole other message of itself that I'll spend more time with later. That's just one stepping stone getting down to where I do want to spend time today. Because in verse 3 of Ephesians 1, he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. So he's dealing with all the spiritual blessings we have. And he gets on down, like I said, he talks about that we may know what is the hope of our calling. And so knowing who we are in him is key. He's trying to establish who we are in him. And a lot of this is going to be repeat, but I'm like I said, I'm hitting some steps to lead to where I'm going. I was reminded of the fact that some of the principles that we have to do and what a lot of this message is reminding us of certain principles that we've had. That is very important because I made a statement, came to me a couple of weeks ago, I believe. Everybody I know who ended up getting off at some point in life in their, some part of their belief or their walk with God, at one point was on. Yeah, to a certain degree. At one point, their walk was right and better, and they were growing, and things were going well, which means that the way Peter said it in 2 Peter 1, 12 and 13, he said, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. See? Yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. And Jude echoed that same thing about putting you in remembrance, because there's some things you know. And one of the things that Peter, as well as Jude, both worked with and dealt with was the fact that there's a history of beings and people who knew but didn't stay with what they knew. Both Peter and Jude both deal with that fact, and some people think that Jude got it from Peter, but that's not necessarily true, because guess what? It's the same Holy Ghost that gave Peter to wrote it could have given it to Jude the exact same way without them collaborating or whatever the word would be. See? Because they both go back and use some of the same examples. You got Lucifer himself, who started out in good condition. He started out being a key person out of one of the angelic beings that God had created. And the other angels that God had created, they were perfect at one point. He goes on, he talks about different other ones. Balaam, who I'm convinced, and it's another whole teaching, was a prophet at one point, even though he's called a soothsayer, something he never was really a prophet of God. When you go and run a search in your Bible for Balaam, you can find scripture after scripture where him and God told him this, God told him that. Now, he didn't soothsayer. Now, he got to soothsayer condition when he became a prophet for hire. Okay? Another whole point we'll get into some more later. But he didn't keep his first estate. So that's why it's important that we do this and go over it over and over again, because you don't ever get too grown to have to be reminded. Because you know what? Like Mother was saying some things when she got up here and prayed last week, or week before, whenever it was. Until we leave here, we have to be willing to fight and walk right. I looked at it and I tried to see exactly, and I didn't come up with the exact number, how old Moses was when he didn't honor God the second time dealing with getting them water. But thing is, he was on the north side of 100, because he lived to be 120. So that means you and I, as we walk this walk, if we get to 100, if we get to 120, whatever, we can't stop being watchful at 119. See? Because he wants us. So we're putting remembrance of this. So that was one stepping stone. Wait a minute. 2 Peter 1, 14, 15? Okay. I'm sorry, I go on from it. I'll go back to it. 2 Peter 1, I did 12 and 13, 14 says, knowing that shortly I must put off this, my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. And so, in other words, I'm going to work that even after I'm gone, you still got to live this life. You still got to fight this fight. Which is why we do what we do, which is why the ministry to these young people is so important, is because y'all can be running some stuff. We ain't going to just get old and still be up here running stuff. No, y'all are being prepared to get up here and run stuff. Y'all know that? Did y'all know that? See? So we do preparations so that when that time comes, and even if, I'm trying not to get too far from this because I got to hit a few more points for my time right now, but even if your part of learning is like I was talking about when you guys go off, hopefully to a Christian school, something a revelation I had is that there's certain things that are eliminated. It ain't perfect, but there's certain things that are eliminated if you go to a Christian school. That's true. Because at the non-Christian schools, they can tell you anything about not believing God and ain't no God and all that kind of good stuff, and ain't no recourse for that. All right. But anyway, that'll be for y'all and God and parents to decide. But the thing is, even if it's knowing that the young man who chooses this daughter ain't got to worry about no one who ain't going to know how to follow them, honor them, support them, stay true to God. Either these young ladies, you know, they're going to know this. Now, they'll have things to learn, what it takes to get together and work together and still honor, even if they don't do everything right, which they won't do everything right. But we can send them knowing that, oh, you got a good one. You got one that's going to stay by your side. Ain't going to be a brawler fighting with you. All this other kind of stuff that we teach, and not the wisdom of God. See, that's very important. All of us know how important it is to have a household that's structured like God wants it to be. Because there's another thing, before I finish that off and come back over here, there's another thing that I had a revelation on last week. Even I looked at a scripture about not withholding punishment and spanking the children. Actually, it calls it beating them. the scripture, let's see. I don't know if I put that one in there. Yeah, so even with that, and a revelation I had was the fact that, because I administered that word to a couple of fathers over the past months. But then I realized that's only a part of the picture. This is how I got there, because of what we were just talking about, by setting up a good household with the right people who have the right mentality. That's only a small part of the picture. If I tell you your child needs to be beat, and you go beat that child, that ain't gonna accomplish what God wants unless the rest of the picture is in place too. See? It takes also to be a good parent. I can't call myself a good parent because I beat my kids. That I also love them the way I should? That I also exhibit and set a household up of love, honoring each other as parents? That's part of being a good parent too. See? Because they have to get that and understand that growing up. And so with the one of the people that I talked to about that, I said, you can beat that child all you want to. There's signs there that there's some spiritual stuff going on, because it's possible that someone in the household is inviting other spirits by burning sage for some kind of spiritual purpose, or doing something with crystals for some kind of spiritual purpose, or meditating, which is more than outside of, when you start dealing with yoga. I didn't find this out. I think I heard Gerald say something about this one time. It's not just stretching. It seems like this good thing. You're stretching and stuff that's good for your core. But when you get to the key, the bottom lines of yoga, it gets into some spiritual stuff. Didn't know that until within the last year or two. So if all that is happening and that invites spirits into the house, if I'm getting up and looking at my horoscope and stuff like that, which invites spirits to back it up into the household, that's going to influence that child. So I can beat them until they blue in the face. Those other spirits that I have invited in the household are going to have an influence. Yeah, that's their job. If there's an open door, if I give place to Satan, he's going to come. He's going to do what he can. Okay, so all this is part of that whole thing. I can spend more time on that later, but I'm walking way down to this really point that I really want to spend time on today. Go ahead, Walt. Will do. Y'all heard it. I mean, those of you who can't get here on Wednesday night because I know you got kids to get lined out and fed and bed and ready for school and stuff like that, we expect to see you guys on Zoom. Amen. So, moving on, one of the things that God really wants to establish with us is realizing how much he wants us to know his will for us. Before I even get into the other parts about him allowing stuff like that, to realize the importance of knowing what his will is for me, for us as Christians in general, for me particularly. I need to really know what his will is. His will is. There's a scripture in Ephesians 1 again. He goes on further. In verse 8, he says, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. And I remember this scripture because probably 30 years ago, in my old Bible, the one that my wife had redone for me because she saw how much I liked it and used it and everything. It's good for studying. I remember marking up how much in this set of scriptures God makes this point that I'm making right now. Listen to what he says. He says, verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Whose will? God's will. According to his good pleasure. Whose good pleasure? God's good pleasure. Which he hath purposed in who? Himself. He has his own purpose for what he's doing. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even how? In him. In whom also we have obtained inheritance. In who? In him. Being predestinated according to the purpose of who? Him. Who worketh all things after the counsel of whose own will? His own will. That we should be to the praise of whose glory? His glory. Who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed, marked with the seal, that word deals with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of the inheritance, of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, until the praise of whose glory? His glory. You know, and some folks read this section and come back and say God is just he's just a self-serving entity. He wants everything about him. Well, the only reason we're here is so that we can join in on what he got. All this is about us being partakers of what he has for us. He don't want to enjoy heaven by himself and the peace of all the blessings by himself. He offered us the ability to join in. You know, how many of us, like the analogy of the lepers who went out and found all this treasure because the folks had run off and left all this treasure in the Old Testament. How many of us would do like they did initially? We got a lot of treasure. Let's go hide it. Instead of realizing God has blessed us, we're not right. Let's at least after we have one more batch, go ahead and tell everybody so they can partake in on it. See? And so that's God's mentality. He says he has sealed us with his Holy Spirit of promise, which means we're sealed in him, and also means he's put a seal on us. I was reminded of a statement that I heard in Yellowstone watching that series, which is a very good series, but boy, they do a lot of cussing. Okay. They do a lot of cussing. I have to find myself saying, well, I got to keep that out of me because this person make me mad. I can't go off like they go off in Yellowstone. But there was a place where I think John Dutton, the leader, made the statement. He said, they were talking about the brand that they put on folks who are part of their family. They put a brand on them. And someone made a statement about having to somehow having to live up, having to earn. Oh, yeah, what do you do to earn that brand, whatever? And the statement was, the brand isn't something you earn. It's something you live up to. And that's the seal that God has put on us. It's something we live up to. Being a Christian, being in Christ, it's a whole nother whole teaching of all the things that are in Christ that we have, that we can expect, that have been provided for us. He has provided healing. So when we're fighting diseases and stuff down here, we fight them not from the standpoint of I'm trying to get healing. I'm trying to manifest what he has already provided. Because healing shouldn't, I mean, sickness shouldn't be here. Sickness shouldn't be here. So I'm manifesting what he has provided. All right? And so I'm living up to the image of Christ. So with that being said, in knowing that I'm purposed by what is his will, and I'm driven by what is his will for me, what is his will, why am I, like what I was saying, why are you keeping me alive? What you got for me? You got something specific for me that you did this for me? Yeah, he does. He has specific directions. It's not always ministry. Now, it's good, 90% or so at least of us in here, it does include being part of ministry, but it could be the part of ministry where, like I said, if you are a good wife raising good children in the household, you might never get up and preach in front of nobody in your life. But you know what? That is so needed in this world. If you're a good husband who know how to order your household in the things of God, and that you raise and keep your household going in the things of God and keep it and watching for stuff that you have to keep out of your household to make sure the right stuff is in there, that is so needed in this world. Because things have gotten to the point where folks don't know what that looks like. Most folks don't know what that looks like. They've never seen that demonstrated. All right, so that gets me to the next place that I want to spend a little time on before we wind down this last 10 minutes or so. When we first started dealing with, and this hit us on KFN, things that God allow, God will allow this and God will allow that. Of course, the big thing is that how do you mean God allowed certain things? Because the way it's normally said and taught, when I say God allowed certain things to happen, it has the undertone of God wanted it to happen. And so you got to be able to attack that without blowing the whole thing up, because there's too many things, too many biblical examples of stuff God did not want to happen, but they were allowed to happen. See? As I go on, I'll get deeper into a lot of those, but we look at something he said about Israel, and this is where I want to spend a little time and pull a point or two out, when he was leading them. In Exodus 13, one verse here, he says, in verse 17, God has Moses say, it came to pass, Exodus 13, 17, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was nearer. See, we all want God to lead us into our promised lands as quickly as we can get there. I need to be there yesterday. Okay? Then go, he led them, but not through the land of the Philistines, although that was nearer, for God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. How many of those promised land blessings that we're looking for If I'm being led of God, now see, there's some other things we'll get to later about I can be hindering the things, and I'll eventually get over and look at, I think Jeremiah, Ezekiel, where he talks about the fact that don't say that I withheld the rain that would have given you the crop. Your iniquities withheld the rain. See, so that's one thing. But if in leading God, he knows if you get this blessing you're looking for right now, you're going to run. Because you don't know how to fight. And as we look through all these different examples in Israel, what God showed me transpose that into us and our walk today. What does that mean for us today? How does that look today? What does it mean if the same way he had to lead them because he knew there's certain fights they weren't ready for? How does that look for me today? Are there certain fights that he knows you're not ready for this yet? Because if I give you what you want right now, you ain't going to handle it. You're going to be like this other brother who I know came here from California, part of Fred Price Church, talking so good and strong and faith and everything, you know, all this stuff, really checking me because, you know, he'd been under Fred Price for some years and all this. He's going to come here and start a business and wouldn't got the financing and got him a restaurant going and everything. A couple of months later, when it folded, the realization kicked in that it takes more than just faith. It takes faith and knowledge. It takes faith and patience. It takes a whole lot of stuff that we get from the examples you guys give. It takes the ability to know that even if I'm going to lose 200 and something thousand over this next 2 or 3 years, this is God's route to get me to that promised land of this business that he's shown me we will have. So now, what do I have to do to endure these years of having to do like Israel? Something else he said about Israel. He says, in Deuteronomy 8:2, and ye shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So that sounds dangerously close to the Lord won't put no more on you than you can bear and all those other types of teaching that we hear. But when we look over at what he says about that, 1 Corinthians 10, and we really see what he's saying, then we look more at Israel and how that applies to us. Today, we can see the same principle. I will eventually look at the 10 times when God says, these 10 times have you tempted me? We will eventually go down each one of those and see how each one of those times is something that we should be prepared to handle today. Most of them was dealing with, some of them dealt with the fact that they were in fear, even though God was leading them. Some of them were dealing with the fact that they were, basically spoiled. Because we're used to eating what we want. We're used to drinking water before we really got thirsty. You know? And so they complained. And so we'll spend time looking at what it looks like today if we're in a position where I'm complaining about a situation where all of us got jobs where they got some parts of that job that they don't like. You hear how much Kenny Wayne loves his job, but there's some parts of that job he don't like. I remember talking about how sometimes you have to, when it's muddy and stuff, you got to get out and, what you call it, hog it out and mud it out, whatever. Getting down in that mud. I remember when Kendrick them did the brick on the house, so you had to get in that mud down there and digging to get that foundation settled before they laid a brick. I said, they over there all day and he ain't laid a brick yet. He was digging, looking for that foundation. Those are the parts of the job y'all don't like, right? Don't nobody like getting down in the mud. But that don't mean that you can't do that because that's a part of the job, because you like the dividends of that job. Very few folks I've ever heard say they weren't parts of the job that they didn't like, but that didn't mean they didn't love their job. Okay, so part of that comes in when we start looking at Israel and breaking it down. With 1 Corinthians 10, where I was going to, he says, straight on verse 6, now these things were our examples. Talking about the things that Israel went through. They were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication. But before we get there, the idolaters. Well, you might say, well, none of us got any idols. We ain't got no little Buddha statues in our houses and other little false god statues that we're using as idols. But one of the main things the Lord's been showing me, some folks focus on themselves has taken the place of God leading me. That's not an idol per se, but it's the same spiritual principle. So I'm focused on what I want, when I want it, what I can buy, when I can buy it, what I don't want to do. The boundaries that are set over here that God set, well, I might not could cross that line, but I'm going to hang around right here by it because I like to hang around over here. You know, when the mentality should be, if this is the line, then I'm going to hang around over here. Because I don't even want the appearance of evil. When I got my job, first got into fast food, one of the companies I ended up working for had that good old boy mentality. We want all of our managers cleanly shaven. You can have a mustache, nice and neat. Cleanly shaven, you know, kidding me, I had to lose this. You know how much I like that. I think it looks sharp. You know what? It didn't take long for me to say, you know what? That's all it takes for me to make that money. I'll go bare chin. Now that would be rough with you guys, you know. you bald and bearded guys, that would be kind of rough on y'all. but you know what? If that's the line, and you have some managers and some people who would hang close to that line, would get a little rough, you know, because they just like having a little something there. Then the big man show up in town, or the big woman, boss lady come in town, and you run in the bathroom trying to shake. No, just stay over there. In God, there are limits. There are going to be limits. What am I doing that either looks like him, or I'm carrying myself like him? You know, what does it take for me to be happy? I thought about that old song. Doesn't take much to make me happy. Ain't none of y'all ever heard that. That's secular stuff. Get it out your mind. But it don't take all that to make me happy. Kenny Wayne hit on this a couple weeks ago. He ain't gotta have them $300 or $400. How much a good pair of them quality jeans that hug your body and feel like a glove and all that kind of stuff cost nowadays? Anybody know? None of y'all know. See, what'd you say? The Walmart jeans fit you just fine. I was in the gym. I said, how comfortable are these folks? I thought about you. I was in the gym. I said, how comfortable are these folks in themselves and in what they believe? There was a lady I've seen her there before working with the personal trainer. She had it on her skirt. Not the Pentecostal skirt, come all the way down to the ankles, but you know, she needs to where she could still do her workout, and you can't see no more than you need to see. There's this older guy up in there in a plaid shirt and jeans doing his workout. He wasn't hindered from doing his workout and doing all the stuff he had to do. I'm like, don't they know they're supposed to look a certain way to go to the gym? Don't they know all these young folks are looking at them like, that's not gym clothes? You're supposed to go and spend this money and get this kind of stuff to look like they're comfortable in who they were. Why? Because they had some understanding. So these things happened to Israel so we can get this understanding. Like I said, with the job, when the job said do certain things, dress certain ways, it wasn't no question. because I wondered what that job was giving me and where I was going. Look, God is the same way. The limitations God places on us, there are benefits. They're for our good. The world put the twist on it on what you think you're missing out on. We put the right spin on it and say, no, you don't know what you're missing out on. Because God has blessings for us for being obedient, for representing him, for folks being able to look at us and say, that's a God person. That person, like Roger was saying this past week online, that person gives off the scent of God. It ain't no cologne or perfume. It's the spirit. It's a meek and quiet spirit. He talks about with the woman, how she can win her husband. And he talks about the husband who follows him and orders his household in the right direction, and how that is a representation when folks look at you. I can go out and not do certain things because everybody else is doing it. I look a certain way because everybody else is looking that way. All of that. Let me wind it down. Because that was the main point I wanted to get to in all this. And we'll go back and start slowly breaking some of these other points down. But back in 1 Corinthians 10, let me finish this section. So not to be idolaters, not to put me and what's good for me above what is good for God. Okay? That's more, yeah, it deals with not messing with other spirits. We talked about that a few minutes ago. And one of you younger people are younger than me, will have to go back and do a teaching. It came to me, we really need to do another teaching on witchcraft and the occult, because there are some newer terms that every time we talk about it, I hear that you guys are hearing that I didn't even know. So you guys who deal with the 30s and 40-something year olds, and y'all hear them use terms like different energies and some of the other things I heard talking about feng shui and all the other kind of good stuff. When y'all hear these things, y'all need to be the ones to educate us and look at it and say, that's a spiritual thing. And look at it and deal with how to show that it's a spiritual thing so we can know, oh, this is what's going on too. This is how they change it. It's the same spirit. It ain't no different than the spirit that came up on Eve in the garden. Same thing. We change his look. They change the terminology and things like that. So you guys need to, as you hear things and see things, make note. A lot of us folks who don't listen to some of the things and see some of the things that you guys see, we need to hear too, so we know exactly what's going on. We work together to educate others, okay? So he says, neither let us commit fornication. No, he says, first I have to adulterers, as some of them were, as it's written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. All right, we're going to look at even how that type of a lifestyle can represent the wrong things today. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day, 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. And that's going to be a big one we'll spend more time on also. The fact that, do I murmur about my job, my household situation? Am I complaining about stuff that I should be able to handle? Y'all can come on up. I'm winding down. Finish reading this set of scriptures and I'm going to be done. So not to murmur, not to complain about what I got going on. Instead, to look at the good part. And now all these things happen unto them for examples and samples. And they are written for our admonition, which is not just a warning. It gets into a mild rebuke. Upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed, lest he fall. So God's intention is for us to learn what's necessary to keep from falling. He wants us to get it down to where we know what things will be coming at us and we're able to handle. What things will be said that some Christians mean well on, but guess what? They're not really looking at the full picture, because God's not going to withhold good from us just so he could, whatever kicks he get out of it. If there's something good that he wants us to have and we're meeting every part of the covenant to get it, then either I need to have patience or know that and know that it's coming, or check and see, have I done my part? God's not in the process of letting bad stuff happen or whatever, or allowing bad stuff to happen, but he's got a purpose, underlying purpose in mind about letting it happen. No, when we search it out and go back and look, we're going to see what I did to open the door, and this is going to be a statement that we'll make more and more times that you don't often hear. What I did or didn't do that stopped God from being able to protect me. And that's big, because folks say, God can do anything. He can do anything he wants to. He can't lie. He can't go back on his word. He ain't going to break his covenant. All right? That's what I'm saying.
Thank you for studying God's word with us today. Worship at Rice Memorial begins with Sunday school at 9:30 a.m., followed by praise and worship at 10:45. And on Wednesday nights, we have Bible study from 7 to 8 p.m. Children's Church is also available, where they can receive the Word of God on their level. Once again, don't forget to like, subscribe, and hit your notification button to get new messages on a regular basis. You can also like us on Facebook and visit our webpage at ricememorialbaptistchurch.org. Rice Memorial is located at 15th and State in Little Rock, but for the time being, we're worshiping at City Church in College Station, Arkansas. Thanks again for tuning in.